Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I think you're going to be glad as well, and I hope you make a habit out of it and come back each and every night. We've got folks all around this world that have the habit. And like I said, it's a good habit to get into. All right, a little update on the K-Files e-zine from last week. We tried to send out the remainder of those last night. Apparently, there is some problem with our software. We got about halfway through, and it hung up again. So we have reinstalled the software today, and we will try again to get to the rest of you tonight. Those who did not receive their K-Files e-zine last week, I know it's late, but we're still trying to get it to you, and we will succeed. The measure of a winner is not how many times you have an obstacle or a hurdle to jump. It's how many times you actually jump them. So we intend to prove once again we are winners, and we will get this done. All right, we have this evening, I've got it in my hot little hand right here, a brand new award to give out. Well, it's not a brand new award, but I don't think we've ever given it to this particular organization before. Here at the Kevin Smith Show, we have an award that we call the Toro Kaka Award, and we give it out to usually it's mainstream media, but sometimes it's others. And the Toro Kaka Award today goes to NBC Miami.
You are listening to the
Kevin Smith Show. Oh my! That is the wrong thing to play. That's what we're supposed to have. All right, the Toro Kaka Award, and here's the reason. They ran this report that says it's about a guy who lives in Northport, I assume in Florida. It says it's a long way from Miami to Northport, but it might be worth the trip across the state if retiree Michael Rowley's claims are true. And then it goes on to report that Michael Rowley and his son, Shane, live in Northport. Michael is a retiree. He moved there and after he retired. And he said, speaking to WBBH, he said, the only bad part is the aliens around here. And they went on to explain that they have had five encounters with extraterrestrials in the past 4 months, capturing an alien on videotape. And they have also made a plaster mold of what they claim is an alien's footprint. Pretty big news. So why are we giving the Toro Kaka Award to NBC Miami? Well, it's because on their report here, the headline says, Close Encounters Spook Florida Family. And then the subtitle says, Little Green Men Visit Florida Family. Oh, my goodness. NBC Miami, you do qualify for the Toro Caca Award. Congratulations. You get it. You guys are a gas. Really. We'll be back with Stephen Bassett right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Stephen Bassett. And Stephen Bassett, really for our audience, needs no introduction. You know who he is. For those of you who are new, perhaps even to the entire genre of UFOs and the paranormal, Stephen Bassett is the director of Paradigm Research Group, and has been with us on the show now several times. We're delighted to have him back with us this evening. Stephen, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Yeah, welcome, Kevin. I must tell you, I'm not hearing you too clear. How are you hearing me?
Oh, we hear you fine. It happens, okay. Steve, when we take you off the speakerphone and run you through the broadcast, you're going to get a volume drop.
Yeah, let me see if there's a sound increase here on this phone. Just a second. Wow, I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Well,
what I'm doing now is I'm moving.
All right.
A little closer to the main phone.
Okay, we hear you fine, Steve.
All right, just a moment. We're sort of in a little event here, but it's not a problem. I'm going to grab the phone. See if this sounds any better.
All right. You ran a campaign prior to the presidential election and into the first part of the new administration to have a million faxes, emails, etc., sent to the new president. And that went pretty well, I think, but then you moved into a new phase, and I want us to sort of get up to speed on what this new phase is that you've been doing, and how is it going?
Okay. Again, I think I caught your question. Look, you were referring to the efforts to make this administration do the job, get the disclosure thing done.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah, where we are is this. We launched the fax on Washington November the 5th, and a lot of publicity, a lot of media, and quite a few letters, emails, went into the transition headquarters of the president-elect between November 5 and January 20. Then from January 21 to May 31st, we directed the correspondence to the White House, and quite a bit came in, again, from around the world. All of this correspondence for that 208 days, was calling for disclosure, was calling for the president to demand a full briefing, to encourage congressional hearings, to release, at least make available, or start the process of making available any ET technology development that we have, and we're pretty sure we have it, and to disclose, to acknowledge the ET presence so we can get on. Now, it would have been nice if the administration had, in fact, done that, but of course it didn't. I'm not surprised. So on the 1st of June, we launched Phase 3, and Phase 3 of the main facts is straightforward. I mean, it's the final phase, and its intention is nothing less than ending the embargo, period. And it's not complicated. All of the correspondence is now going into the White House press corps. The journalists who are in the briefing room 5 days a week asking questions of the administration's press spokesperson and occasionally of the president during presidential press conferences and so forth. And all of this correspondence is going to them collectively through their association, the White House Correspondents Association, the WHCA. Now, factsonwashington.org has got all that information, the email, the fax, and the mailing address for the WHCA, as well as a list of questions which are fully appropriate for them to ask. They're political in nature. They connect to major people in the administration and in the Democratic Party. They're fully supported by documents, video, narratives, research. All the links are right there. And so what's going to happen here is that the correspondence is going to keep going in to the WHCA until the White House press corps does its job. Now, the crux of all this, and this is not a hyperbole in any way, one of the reasons that the truth embargo has lasted as long as it has is really quite simple. The press has simply not asked the appropriate questions of the various administrations and demanded appropriate answers. It's just that simple. It's a don't ask, don't tell. So if they don't ask any questions, the administrations have not to say anything, and therefore the policy that there's nothing to this issue goes on. Now, this is not something you want the press ever to do, but in this case, they have done it. Now, in fact, they've done it in other cases, too, but this is the most extensive and the most profound instance of this don't ask, don't tell type policy. If the press had made up its mind at any time, certainly since 1991, to start asking these questions, the embargo would not have lasted any more than a couple of weeks, but they simply haven't asked any. They will not do it. Now, prior to 1991, during the Cold War, it would have been tough to ask those questions, and the administrations would have been very difficult to deal with. But I believe they could have busted the truth embargo open even in the 90s or 80s if they had chosen to act, and they haven't done so. So now, it's 62 years since Roswell. We have vast accumulation of evidence. We've got witnesses coming forward. We've got other countries releasing documents. We've got all kinds of video archives of statements and sightings and everything else all over the web. And the press has become larger, more multi-layered and what have you. And the fact is that we're right at the point where the press is going to break. The signs are multiple. And so the question is, get them to break as soon as possible. And that's what the Facts on Washington is all about. We don't need the entire press corps to rise up together and start demanding answers from the administration. We just need two or three of the reporters to dig in and say, look, I'm asking appropriate questions and I'm not leaving this room until I get some appropriate answers. And once they dig in, what will happen is the responses they will get from their attempts will be so outrageous and so irritating that other press will then step in and say, wait a minute, that's a dumb answer. Let's repeat that question. And the whole point of the Facts on Washington is to trigger an initial group of questions from three or four reporters that will, based upon the position that the administration is in, based upon the totality of the circumstances worldwide, there is simply no way out. It is mate in three or four moves. And once that starts, it can't be stopped, and the questions will then pile on top of each other, and the embargo will be over. And so what we have now is we have a group of individuals, the press corps, they can't go anywhere. They're going to be in that room every day. And the White House Press Association, Correspondents Association, ain't going anywhere. And unless they change their address, their fax, and their email, we can hit them with as much correspondence as we can generate. And we're generating everything we can. Now, there's going to be a lot more publicity on this, and it's just not going to stop. And one other thing, and I'll stop, is that the correspondence that went into the White House and into the transition team was going in a very large stream of mail and correspondence. You can imagine, all right, how much mail the White House, for instance, gets, and faxes and emails they get every day. The White House Correspondents Association doesn't get that kind of correspondence, not even close. And so this correspondence is coming in. It's quite obvious. It sticks out. And while they have not yet acknowledged it, even though Robert Gibbs was asked about it about 8 days ago by a caller to the C-SPAN show, morning show, eventually they're going to have to acknowledge it. And so now it comes down to simply this. How many people out there want this issue to be resolved? How many people want the truth out? How many people want that technology that's in those underground labs, perhaps made part of our world so we can deal with these issues. Is it enough to generate 5, 10, 20, 100, 200,000 letters, faxes, and emails? I guess we'll find out. And that's the situation. It's that simple. So it's really now an end game. How long will it take, how many letters, faxes, and emails before the press finally realizes that there's no place to go? And they're going to have to answer these questions or look ever increasingly foolish with the passage of time.
Yeah, Steve, your telephone has gotten progressively worse. It's now so garbled that it's very difficult to understand you. So I'm going to hang up and try to call you again.
Call me another line, please. So did most of what I said, though, was it? Could you relatively understand it?
Yeah, and now that I've mentioned it, it has cleared up. I understood everything you just said. Yeah, we understood what you said. It's just very, very garbled electronically. I think we're probably being assisted, but we will see. You want me to call you on your cell phone number?
Let's try that. Give me a buzz. Call me again. Let's see if we get a better connection.
All right, I'll call you back on this number, and we'll see. Some folks comment that, that Kevin Smith show, they just get hit all the time. And, I don't know what the deal is because they just keep getting hit. Well, it's because we keep having top guests and because we keep, bringing the information that really is top information. To you. All right. So, Steve, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm getting about the same volume on your end, but Maybe my voice is better.
Yeah, it is better. Okay, so you said the signs are there that they're about to break, these reporters in the White House press corps. What are some of the signs that you see that tell you they are about to break?
Well, I'm speaking now of the press in general. What's happened in the last couple years is that a much greater segment of the media world is covering this issue unambiguously, with less and less embargo, I might put it this way, less and less of the propaganda. In other words, they're breaking ranks, or they never really were involved. And a lot of the reporters are 25, 30 years old. I mean, the embargo was already 30 years old when they were born. And so increasingly, those in the media industry are simply not as affected by that effort instituted in the late 40s to contain this issue. Now, in the last couple of years, again, because of all the developments, the sightings, the reports, the evidence, the documentaries, the books, the media is coming around. I know this because for the last 4 years, I have been logging in all the news stories that I can get access to that are on the net, on the Internet, related to this issue, going back to 1947. Now, obviously, as you get back in the early years, there are not that many stories. The total number of English-language stories that have been written in the press since the 40s is easily well above 10,000 articles. I have about 3,400 now archived on the Internet, but most of them in the last 3 years. The last 3 years, almost, I would say, approaching 2,000 articles. Now, this is mainstream news press. This is not alternative press, paranormal press. This is mainstream news, Internet, mainstream radio, mainstream television. And what you find, if you were to read the last 2,000 articles, is that maybe 1 in 100 is what I would call a ridicule piece. 1 in 100. Most of it's straight journalism. Some extensive articles covering everything. Sightings, conferences, new books, exopolitics, the process of disclosure, all of this. It's all there. But this coverage is primarily still beneath what we call the very top tier. But it's moving up and pressing up against the glass ceiling, I guess you could say. And so while above the glass ceiling you have the three networks that have been basically gone along with the truth embargo from day one, you've got the major newspapers of record, the LA Times, New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, Boston Globe, and so forth. They have stuck with the embargo. Occasional article, right, but not too often. The Wall Street Journal, even a couple of front page, but again, nothing appropriate to the issue. They've stuck with it, all right? And that's a lot. If they will continue to the extent that they continue to go along with the embargo, they can, it will sustain itself for a while. But underneath that glass ceiling, the coverage is just pushing up. And so what I'm saying is that when these reporters and editors up there look down through the look down on the floor, that ceiling that they're standing on, they're seeing all this coverage underneath it, and they're seeing it coming up at them. And so the ability to continue to not write about what all these other reporters are writing about is just eroding every day. And, of course, the evidence and the pressure continues to mount. There is a lot of material out there that are now hooks members of the Obama administration with the UFO issue. People like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Bill Richardson and John Podesta and Leanne Panetta. And there have been other people in the Democratic Party that have been connected to the issue. Some of are deceased. They can't continue to dance away from that. They can't pretend to ignore it indefinitely. Now, the media, that's what I'm saying, is that the press corps ultimately, their raison d'etre is to get great news, great stories, even scoops. This is what they live for. The government's a little different. The government's supposed to serve us. But in fact, what government has become is kind of a self-serving enterprise that functions to just keep itself functioning. And so in a way, maintaining the truth embargo kind of fits in with the government modus operandi, at least what we have now. But that is not the modus operandi of the press. And so let's just say that it was not in the press's essential nature to stand down from this major news story all these years. And so it is its nature to embrace it. And so consequently, I believe the media will ultimately break before the government breaks. So that's the game plan. Now, the government could turn on a dime. I mean, it could announce the ET presence tomorrow. But what I think may happen, may be required, is that we're going to pound the press. And now, the media is vast, so we just can't be sending off letters, you know, to 1,000 different media. No, that's not going to do it. You have to focus on a particular point. And that point is obvious. It's the White House press corps. Because, and by extension, it includes the people who are covering the Department of Defense, the CIA, and the Department of State. That's part of the total political press corps, and they're all very much in touch with each other. And so, focusing on the White House press corps includes them as well.
All right, Steve, we have to step away for a break here very, very shortly. You were talking about focusing on the White House press corps, and when they break, the administration will break. And when we come back, I want to refer to a very focused question that was asked, and you referred to it earlier. Robert Gibbs was asked this question while he was on C-SPAN, and I want to deal with that just a little bit and get your thoughts on it. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Steve Bassett, the director of the Paradigm Research Group. And Steve, can you hear me okay?
A little better.
Okay.
I got you.
The question that I wanted to ask you, because we're talking about the press, they deal with all kinds of situations, the White House press corps. The president comes in and briefs them. Sometimes they are briefed by military officials, and very often by the president's press secretary, Robert Gibbs. Now, Robert Gibbs, that means he has been part of the media. And he is sort of he's kind of in the middle. He's media and administration. All right, now he was on C-SPAN. A caller, who happens to be a caller that calls this show quite often, called in and asked a specific question. Gibbs danced. and did not give a straight answer. I will give credit where credit is due. He did not ridicule the call and did not ridicule the question. But the question was, in light of all of these hundreds of thousands of emails and faxes that you've been getting, that the administration's been getting from the American people asking for UFO disclosure, and in light of, in view of the fact that this president has talked about transparency, when are you guys going to do something about this? His answer had nothing to do with the question.
Well, he said that that on this subject he had not been briefed. I talked with Scott before he made that question. The principal mistake that Scott made was, wait a minute, is it Scott? Wait a minute.
It's Ryan.
Oh, God. Ryan, I'm sorry. Is he through the kitchen sink? He threw everything in but the kitchen sink. What he wanted to do was a very tight question, focused strictly on, you're getting a lot of, my understanding is you're getting a lot of correspondence down there calling for the administration, calling for the press to ask questions. Also, you're getting correspondence to the White House. You see, Gibbs is in a unique position. He is going to be fully aware of the correspondence that's been coming to the president on this issue. But as the press spokesperson to the White House correspondents in that room, he's been informed that they're getting correspondence as well. And this is great. But still, we're very happy that Ryan asked this, and he's become minor.
But that is the question he asked, though, Steve. That is precisely the question he asked. And he said, in light of transparency, when are you guys going to do something?
He talked about Mitchell. He talked about documents being released. He made it a long question with a lot of subjects, right? But in there, amidst all these subjects, was this, he mentions the documents. And when you do that, what it makes it easier for the respondent to give you a non-answer, all right? If you ask somebody with multiple subjects, a lot of people sort of realize, he can't answer all that. So if you it's a simple thing. Did you go to the restaurant last night and have dinner or not? I mean, that's real straightforward. All right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. However,
there's an art. There's an art to doing this, but that's fine. Look, Ryan did something important there. But here's what's great about this, and this is what I mean when I say we've got him. The government's really in a corner here, and we've got him mated in three or four moves. Billy Cox of the Sarasota Herald Tribune contacted the White House Correspondents Association a couple of times wanting to ask them about this correspondence coming in. All right? Well, guess what? They never returned his calls. They won't respond. And the reason is simple. They can't. You see, if they say anything, if they respond to a question from a reporter that, well, yes, we're getting some, and they could lie and say we're not getting any, but I've got copies of a lot of it, right? So if they lie, it's going to cause them a problem. If they say, yes, we're getting some correspondence, then instantly that is possible for Cox to ask other questions and other reporters to jump in. Well, wait a minute. What are you getting? Can we see it? And so the only move they make is a non-move to say nothing, right? And so what was great about what Ryan did was that, okay, Gibbs knows about this. And so he goes on a show, and lo and behold, a question comes at him from a caller. Now, of course, he has to dodge it. He can't respond to it. If he acknowledges that they're getting that correspondence, it opens up the door. But every time someone like Orion, and there will be more of these, asks a question to somebody that gets out there, it might be Hillary Clinton in another venue, it might be Lee Antonetta, it could be the president himself, but every time they get that non-answer, the people who know that this correspondence is going in are going to get increasingly irritated. And the other reporters who know it's coming in, right, are going to be saying, they won't answer that question. They step around it. And so there's nowhere for them to run. And unless they don't go on television anymore, unless they stop going on C-SPAN and they stop having town hall meetings, they're going to have these questions. And so what Ryan did was to send a message to them, We're not going to stop, right? That was what happened that morning that was important. We are not going to stop until you start answering those questions. And that's where we're at, and I don't see any way out for him, Kevin, frankly.
Well, what Gibbs did was to tell the American people and the world, I'm afraid to tell the truth, because his answer was, I have not been briefed on whether UFOs are real or not. And that was not the question.
True. That may very well be true.
Yeah, but it wasn't the question.
I've been briefed.
Yeah, but it wasn't the question. That was never the issue. And that was very obvious to everyone watching that he answered something that wasn't asked and did not answer what was asked.
Right. And Dick Cheney was asked a question by Larry Bryant when he went on a radio program in Washington, D.C. The name of the program escapes me, but it's on PBS. And he was asked a question by Bryant that could have been given a specific answer. And his answer was, and this question is on the Internet. You can go find it. Dick Cheney, UFO, Larry Bryant, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually hear the question. His answer was, well, anything on that subject, if anything, it would be classified. So I can't say anything. Again, you see the game that's being played. This is a chess game, Kevin. It's been going on for 62 years. And what the public needs to understand is that we're in the end game now. We're down to the last few moves. Their king is in the corner. They've got a couple of pieces left. And we're bearing down on them. And it's only a question of when they give in, right, and essentially surrender. However, you know, we have to, you know, you can't walk away from the game, right? You can't stop playing. You can't just leave the game and walk away. The people have got to keep the pressure on. What PRG has done is provide them the simple means for them to very easily keep the pressure on the administration through the press corps. All they have to do is write those letters, faxes, and emails. You take 10 minutes. We're not talking about a book here. It's a half a page. You just say, look, we want you to ask questions about this issue. We want you to ask about Clinton. We want you to ask about Mitchell, whatever. The stuff is all at faxonwashington.org. And just keep sending them in, right? Because eventually they will have to give. But it's up to the people. If they don't want, I'm not going to write them for them. And we're not going to create one of those false campaigns where you generate a bunch of correspondence and make it look like it's coming from a bunch of people. Those things are easily seen through, and they just blow up in your face. We need the people to actually do something here. Are they tired? Would they like to know the truth about this or not? Would they like to have that ET technology made available or not? They want to keep paying $3 a gallon, $4 or $5 a gallon for gasoline. Do they want to keep paying $300 or $500 a month to heat their homes? Do they want to see the economy collapse underneath them or not? We need to move on with civilization. We are not alone in the universe, and until the government acknowledges that, we're stuck here while we watch everything fall apart around us. All right? So what is it going to be? Are the people going to act or not? We've made it as easy as we possibly could. We've maneuvered this situation to the point where the administration has nowhere to run. The press corps is the focus, and the press corps knows that when they finally do find the courage to go after this story, they're going to win Pulitzer Prizes. This is the biggest news story of all time. So we're not going to have to pound them too hard, too long. All we need to do is make the message clear. We want those questions asked, and we demand appropriate answers. What do I mean by that? Look, if a member of the New York Times press corps, I mean the White House press corps for the New York Times, were to ask Robert Gibbs, Mr. Secretary, we understand that the White House was going to send 20,000 new troops to Afghanistan. Can you confirm that? And the response was, I don't know anything about, you know, Afghanistan. We don't talk about Afghanistan anymore. That would be an inappropriate answer, and it would generate hundreds of questions from everybody in the room. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can understand that.
With the truth embargo, we don't get any answers at all, so it's not an issue.
All right. Do you really suspect, now honestly, do you suspect that during this first term for Obama, somewhere during this first term, that we're going to see someone in that press corps stand up and say, and by they don't stand, but you know what I mean, make a stand and say, what's the deal with all of this UFO information? When are you guys going to disclose it? Do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah.
In the first term?
Well, it will happen if the American people will send those letters and faxes and emails. They keep sending them. Yeah, it has to happen. The situation stands right now. Think of it as a hat trick. Three things will happen this year. Either the press corps will finally break and start asking the questions, or two, the administration on its own, under pressure from multiple sources, will disclose the ET presence, or three, another nation, likely France, possibly China, will disclose the ET presence. One of those three things is going to happen this year, in my opinion. I think the odds of that are very, very good. Now, the odds of any single one of them would be a lot less, but the odds of one of those three, very, very high. And so these are the options. One is if another nation does it, well, the United States looks completely stupid. All right, we're going to get all of the bad heat, all of the criticism, no praise, no nothing. And the other country will, of course, be receiving a massive historical legacy. Two, the press finally jumps on this and starts pounding them with the questions. They'll literally drive them into disclosure, and like hounds chasing down a fox in the woods, chasing it up a tree, right, which is not going to look good, all right? That's the second possibility. And the third possibility is, wow, what a concept, that they actually do governance. They exercise their responsibility to the citizens and let them know about this proactively in an orderly fashion. Those are the three possibilities. So if you're the administration, which one would you want?
Well, I have described the current situation with disclosure like this. I have said the band is on the field and the halftime show has begun, and with disclosure. And if this government, the United States government, wants to be seen as a leader in this, they better run out on the field and get in front of the band because the show is on. And I'm like you. I think it's on. I think it's going to happen. And it's almost too late for the United States to be a leader in this. It's not too late, but it's getting there. It's getting close.
Well, the thing about it is that fortunately for the government, disclosure is actually trivial in a way. It's nothing more than announcing the ET presence. I mean, they could do it in about 30 seconds. So it's like an Apollo program or anything. I mean, they could put the press conference together in 24 hours and do it. So, you know, they could technically wait to the very last minute. It's over when France does it. I mean, once...
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back, and I note that we have just lost Steve Bassett. Well, we'll see if he calls back in, and if he doesn't, we'll give him a call. I don't know what's up with these telephones tonight. Someone does not wish for Steve Bassett to be speaking to us. Someone is interfering. Steve, welcome back. I'll tell you, we're having more problems keeping the connection with you tonight than we ever have. We have interference.
We're shows with you, and I can tell your whole phone system is operating at about 20%. So
yeah,
you might want to give it a look over and see what's cooking there.
Well, what's cooking is we're getting interference from the outside. That's what's cooking. The largest single group of listeners that I have, if you group them by categories, the largest single group is government computers. So but they're not the largest audience. They need to understand they are outnumbered worldwide. So
I'm glad they're listening.
I am too. We need the listeners no matter who they are. Okay. Before we continue, Steve, let me say this. I have an organization of people that it's brand new, and they are helping to promote this show all over the world, and we call it the Kevi Knights. And so I want to encourage all of the Kevinites worldwide to, and especially, though, if you're in the United States, especially if you're in the United States, go to Steve Bassett's website and get all the information you need about how to do what he's asking you to do, okay? It is paradigmresearchgroup.org. Is that correct?
Yeah, and then you'd click on the link over to Facts on Washington, or you could just go to factsonwashington.org directly.
Okay. All right. And so let's get all the Kevinites involved, and you guys need to join the effort here. All right, now, Steve, we're talking about, you know, will this happen during this administration? You're saying you think it will happen this year. All right, we are in the eighth month of this year. That means there's this month, there are a total of 4 months left. And you think it's going to happen in this year?
Yeah.
That's pretty...
Because there's a reason for that. There is huge advantage. It's really very simple. There is a huge advantage to the administration doing this quickly and early, right? Mm-hmm. Where they can go to the people and say, we learned about this, and we believe that you should know about this. Because they're, you know, the administration, particularly Obama, has had nothing to do with the truth embargo. He probably came into the government not knowing about the ET issue in any depth. He may have believed that the ET presence was real. He might have been ticked off, but he hadn't been briefed. He may not have been briefed yet. On the other hand, if they sit on this thing for 4 years and then have to go to the people in the second term, if there is a second term, and say, well, you know, we've been sitting on this for 4 years, but we're going to tell you now, they're going to get a lot of grief. And so they lose an enormous opportunity. More importantly, as I've said, if they don't act, another nation is going to act. See, here's the dilemma. If another nation acts, if France announces formally there's an ET presence, that's it. There's nothing they can do. I mean, they can't put out a release saying, oh, don't believe France, or, you know, France doesn't matter. Come, we'll tell you about the ET presence. No. It's done. That horse is out of the barn and gone, and there is no way to put it back. The other situation is once the press starts asking questions, and once they bite into the story, they're going to have a very short amount of time to react. If they move immediately and proactively disclose, then most observers, most people will view it as a proactive act on their part, and they'll be viewed appropriately. But if they let it go on for a length of time, then essentially it's going to be clear to everyone that when they finally respond and disclose, that they were literally hounded into it. Now, there's a perfect example of this that is in everybody's memory, and it has to do with Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton went in front of the public and said he had not had sex with that woman. Now, if he had, as soon as he knew that the FBI was onto the Monica Lewinsky issue, if he had proactively gone out there and acknowledged the affair, apologized, I can assure you that his life, his political career, and his wife's political career in life would have been a hell of a lot better. Instead, he tried to sit on it. He tried to wait it out. And, of course, the press had bitten into that story, and there was no way they were going to stop. And a massive media storm began and absolutely overwhelmed him until he finally confessed to everything. And that's exactly what's going to happen with this issue. If the government thinks that they're going to be able to weather this media storm, they are living in delusion. And so once those questions start, they will have a very short time to act proactively. After that, it will appear to all that they were literally hounded to finally tell the truth.
Well, delusion is a suburb of Washington, D.C., where most of the politicians live, isn't it?
Yeah, well, our job is to keep pointing out that the emperor is naked as a jaybird. I mean, we're trying to puncture those delusions. That's the work of the advocate. That's why we do what we do. And then, of course, the third option they have is the superior option in every way. You disclose the ET presence and start the information flow, and everybody thinks you're wonderful, right?
Yeah.
So which is it going to be? You know, I mean, it's not hard to figure this out. Now, they're, you know, they're not capable of screwing this up. I'm sure they are. I mean, government has done nothing but screw up since I was a teenager, all right, as far as I can tell. They haven't done anything right since World War II, frankly. And the Marshall Plan, and I give them credit for the Berlin airlift. I thought that went well. Kennedy gets some points for, I think, handling the Cuban Missile Crisis. But once the Gulf of Tonkin happened, since then it's been right downhill into the pit. So maybe they'll screw this up too. But I can assure you that one way or another, they will acknowledge the ET presence. It's inevitable. And so we're just going to keep letting them know that. But in the meantime, we have a simple pathway to end this embargo. Hit the press corps with everything you've got in terms of letters, faxes, and emails. And, you know, if the White House Correspondents Association doesn't want to get those anymore, they can change their fax number, though we'll find out what it is. They can change their email, but they got to have an email. You can't not have an email. And third, they can move. I mean, they can change their mailing address. I don't think they're going to be able to do that. And so they're not going anywhere. And so we can send them 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, 10 million emails, letters, or faxes. There is no limit to how many we can send. It's only limited by how many people are going to take 20 minutes and change the world here. I mean, it's that simple.
Now, I think we need to point out that this needs to go not – it's okay to send these letters and comments and so forth to your local media. That's okay. But you need to send them to the White House Press Corps, right?
We can't spread it out over the whole country. If everybody sends one letter to each of their, that's fine. But we don't want that, and it dilutes it. We need, well, that's why I called it the million facts on Washington. I mean, ultimately, I hope it hits a million total overall. Faxes, letters, and emails going at a specific target. The target is the White House Press Corps. Do your job. Ask the appropriate questions about this issue and demand appropriate answers. The essence of journalism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a member of the New York Times asked Secretary of State Clinton her views on the release of the two women in North Korea, and she launches into a, you know, an aria, you know, from Verdi or something, or what, they would just sit there in stupefaction. I mean, that's not an answer, Madam Secretary. This is nothing unusual about that. Anytime you ask a question, don't get an appropriate answer, the press usually come back and say, that's not the question that I asked. And then
we've seen a recent example of this with Helen Thomas. And when they were jumping on to Robert Gibbs about planting questions among the press corps, and he said, we'll talk about this after the town hall meeting. She said, no, we'll talk about it right now.
And let's be, here's a stark difference here. Beautiful point. Look, Helen Thomas, about 8 years ago, she's 89 now, 81, she's about 81. She's the dean of the White House press corps since Sarah McClendon died. She started asking tough questions of the Bush administration. You know what happened? They blackballed her for over 2 years. They wouldn't let her ask another question. They didn't take another question from her for 2 years. And the White House press corps never stood up for her, never said, look, this is unacceptable. We're not even going to show up if you don't do that. They all just went along with it. Now, in contrast to that, today, right,
mm-hmm.
It turns out, oddly enough, that President Obama and Helen Thomas have the same birthday. And so today, at the beginning of the briefing, President Obama completely surprised her and the room by coming in with a plate of cupcakes and a candle, sung her happy birthday, they exchanged some comments, right?
Yeah.
And then he left. That
big difference. All right, look, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. If I can get all these buttons straight. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And in keeping with the assistance we've been getting on the phones this evening, let me check and see. Steve, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Steve is with us. All right, Steve, we were talking about, the pressure that has to be put on. And we were talking, when we went to break, you were talking about the difference between the treatment Helen Thomas gets by this administration and the Bush administration.
Yeah, the difference is stark. We're talking about a span of just 8 years. George Bush came into the White House on January the 21st of 2001. Within a short amount of time, he had signed a presidential directive locking up the presidential records of George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, and George H.W. Bush's vice presidential records. He had signed a directive exempting the Office of Science and Technology Policy from the Freedom of Information Act, and then embarked on creating what all universally all observers of politics stated was the most secret administration in the history of the United States. A year or so into that administration, when the Iraq War was ramped up, when the dean of the press corps started asking tough questions, they blackballed her and wouldn't let her ask a question for years. Okay, 8 years go by. The pressure on the truth embargo grows and grows. More witnesses, more evidence, more documentaries, other actions by other governments around the world. And then a new administration comes in, a different party, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the first thing this administration does? Well, first of all, it runs on a platform of open, transparent government. And then on the first day after the inauguration, the president signs two memorandums and a presidential directive. The presidential directive orders the reverse of George Bush's restrictions on the Presidential Records Act. Secondly, a memorandum, one of the memorandums called for all of the agencies of government to start operating and moving toward a maximum of open transparency. And the third memorandum called for a revision and improvement of the Freedom of Information Act so that it's not misused by the agencies that are being queried. Then they take a number of actions which move in the direction of open transparency, but then they backtracked on a few of them. And then, as of this morning, President Obama walks into the press room with four cupcakes and a candle and sings Ellen Thomas, "Happy Birthday." I mean, can anybody understand what I'm getting at here? Can you see the writing on the wall where we're going? So it's a new administration, a new view, a new agenda, and the truth embargo is even weaker than it was 8 years ago. And so this is time for things to get resolved. But we need to act. And here's the ultimate question, the question that frightens me the most. There are a lot of people out there that see this and go, yeah, it's all going to happen, so why do I need to do anything? Why do I need to take 20 minutes of my valuable time and write a letter to the White House press corps? It's all going to happen anyway. Here's why. History has a habit of taking nasty turns. It's just like life. You're going along, everything is great, and all of a sudden your life takes a really nasty turn for the worse, and in no time, you're deep into the woods, all right? Same with history. If we don't act immediately, if we don't get this done, there's a lot of things that could happen which could essentially ruin this opportunity and take us off into darkness. Now, you may say, what are you talking about? Well, there are two things particularly high on the list of items that would do this. One would be a nuclear attack on American soil. This would be a tactical weapon. They're all over the place, suitcase nuke. We didn't account for them all. Or a contrived weapon. But in any event, somebody sets it off in Washington, D.C. And then things are just going to go bad after that. The other leading candidate is an attack on Iran by whoever on their nuclear facilities. Worst-case scenario, using nuclear bunker busters. If that takes place, the world is going to take a very bad turn, and the disclosure event will likely get shoved off to the side while we slowly descend into hell. Now, there's other things that we could put on this list. And so you just don't want to risk leaving this to chance. We need to get it done.
Yeah, people need to line up and sign up and make it happen. All right, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to open up the telephone line so our audience can call in. The telephone numbers, folks, are on the screen if you're watching KSS-TV, and it is 623-444-5889. Or if you need to call me toll-free, you can call in at 888-223-4599. We have a caller on hold, so let's go to the call. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, hello there, guys. This is Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Ah,
hi, Steve.
He's the now famous Ryan from Seattle. How you doing?
Yeah, hey, Hey, Steve, first of all, I wanted to say that you put on a really excellent conference over there in Spain. I really enjoyed watching that, especially the Robert Dean presentation with some of the photos that he had. I thought that was great. I wanted to say that, you know, as far as the call that I made, I think that I'm not the only one that could be. I think that anybody that tries, or I think there's a lot of other people that can try and do it. I wish I would have kind of summed it up a little bit shorter when I said if I would have had another chance, I probably would have rephrased it a little bit differently. But I think Robert Gibbs is kind of good at waffling away the questions. But I'd like to see somebody else try it, and I know there's other people on hold, and I just kind of wanted to call in, and I'm going to make it kind of short. I'm sure there's some other people that want to get in.
All right. Well, Ryan, thanks for the call. And once again, you know, I commended you on this show for making that call to C-SPAN. But let me once again make that statement that I commend you for calling C-SPAN with that question. All right, let's go to this next call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario. Hello there, Stephen. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello, yes. Do you guys remember Sarah McClendon? Do you remember that journalist? She used to, she was a journalist when President Bill Clinton was in office. Do you remember her?
Yeah.
Of course, she was a good friend of mine. I attended many White House briefings with her.
Great, yeah. I seem to remember Sarah McClendon one time, she asked Bill Clinton about UFOs, and Bill Clinton's response was, it sent chills up my spine, it still does every time I hear it. He said, so there's a government inside government, and I don't control it. Obviously making reference to the shadow government that literally controls, pretty much controls the entire Western world. I'd say it's the international banking cartels. What would you say, what are your thoughts on the fact that they may be, in fact, the ones responsible for the prevention of the true knowledge of the UFO phenomena from being released?
And the they you're referring to is who?
The government, inside government, that Bill Clinton referred
to.
A lot of people, yeah.
Well, you know, that remark by Sarah was that has been reported by Stephen Greer. He said that she had told him that. I had not heard this; did not tell me this. But if he said it, the words are important here. There's a lot of talk about secret governments and so forth, and it's very ambiguous. It's not clear what that means. I think we know for a fact that there's a very large, massive intelligence complex in America, huge. Multiple agencies, multiple projects, facilities, huge black budget. And that this complex is simply not being monitored by the legislative or executive branches. It simply isn't. Anyone that tells you otherwise is either lying or ill-informed. It's far too large, far too deep, and far too classified. And the members of the House and Senate Select Committees on Intelligence are not up to the job and never have been. And so in that sense, there is a whole somewhat out of control, out of sight part of the American governance, which is a real issue. Now, that's not the same as some sort of a, quote, shadow government making decisions about all manners of American affairs behind the scenes, like the Wizard of Oz, and that the President and the Congress are just puppets. No, I don't think that's the case. I think there are many powerful influences on the Congress and on the President from multiple directions. I mean, that's to be expected. But ultimately, I think they make decisions, but they're influenced. All right. Now, there is a shadow government, believe it or not, and that's what it's called by our own government. That is rotating all the time in a underground facility in Virginia. I think it's about 90 people that they rotate in and out over a period of several months each in case the Washington was suddenly destroyed. And we needed a fundamental skeleton operation
Yeah, it's called the Continuation of Government Project. It operates under the authority of and out of the office of the Vice President. And it is in the event that D.C. were to get wiped out, you still have a core of people to continue the government. And that's been going on for quite some time.
It's not a mystery.
Yeah. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Stephen. Good evening, Kevin. It's Louis from Connecticut.
Hi, Louis from Connecticut.
Hi, Louis.
Yeah, my opinion is, gentlemen, disclosure will take place. Only one person is what can do it. When Dr. Kissinger gives the okay, in my opinion, I believe Obama will come out and say about disclosure.
Well, why do you think Dr. Kissinger is in charge of that?
Dr. Kissinger is MJ-12, and I think he holds a lot of power.
Okay, Steve, what do you think?
If he gives a go-ahead, we will get disclosure by the end of the year.
What do you think, Steve?
Well, he's actually alluding to something which is important. I've said this a number of times. The perception, I think the popular perception is that President Obama will exercise his power as the president, and he will reach down into the bowels of the massive intelligence world, and he will yank the disclosure and the information out from them and give it to the world against their wishes. And that's not what's going to happen. I believe what will happen is that the management committees or committee that directs and controls this issue and the decisions about it, deep down within the military intelligence community, will reach up to Obama and tell him that this needs to happen now and he needs to be the one to do it. And I think Obama will agree. And so, to the extent, whoever is servicing those committees, whoever's in position on those committees, and maybe Kissinger is one of them, I don't know, are, in a way, making the call. And so if Henry Kissinger is, in fact, a member of one of the key management committees, then his views on this and his actions will be an influence on the ultimate outcome. I just don't know if he is or not.
All right. Now, why do you think that disclosure will happen as a result of deep down in the system, the management committees that handle this information will sort of bubble it up to Obama and say, look, it's time. Why do you think it's going to come that direction instead of going the other direction?
Well, there's several reasons. One, first and foremost, the ability of a president to come in and do that is extremely limited. They don't have the information. They don't have the access. Just walking in and saying, I'm the president, everybody jump, it's not that simple, and it's not that easy. And if they don't want to, there's not much the president can do about it. The president doesn't have an army. Now, the president could go about ordering members of the military to start taking very aggressive action in searching for this information, but that's going to create quite a mess. That's one point. The second point is that, I happen to believe that the vast majority of people serving the United States government, not only above but below black or in the black, deep into the military intelligence world, are good people, good patriots, and that they want what's best for the country. That doesn't mean there aren't some people down there that are problematic. And there's people above black that are problematic, right, who, when you look at their overall actions, you got to wonder whether they have the best interest of this country at the foremost. But so given the enormous pressure that the embargo is under and the consequences of losing this historical legacy by having another country preempt us, given the massive benefits that could derive to the human race if we can get that ET technology out and in play, right, that we believe, and also given the number of witnesses that are emerging, right, and aren't being harassed, they aren't being attacked by the military intelligence community, virtually none. There may be an isolated case. I'm not aware of a specific case in many, many years. We believe that the consensus
of the internal entities is now in favor of disclosure. And if that is the case, then it's logical that when the window of opportunity arises, they're going to be the ones that initiate it, not the president. It's that simple.
All right. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times, Steve, you know, that we have this window of opportunity. Something could happen that would cause them to push the whole idea of disclosure far away. Let me ask you to think about this. We're going to take a call, but think about this and we'll come back to it. What about what appears to be a plan to force the vaccinations of all Americans for swine flu, and they're going to bring the military in with five regions operating from five command centers across America? And that's not a conspiracy theory. That's for real. But let's take this call and see what happens here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, good evening. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Northern Alberta. All right, my friend. You got some good views of the sky up there.
Yeah, we sure do. I was going to ask you, Stephen, without taking pressure off Washington, maybe it's time to go globally with this whole agenda of yours and start applying pressure on other countries as well.
Well, we are in a way. I mean, I can't lobby outside the U.S. I mean, I got my hands full right here, but exopolitics and the engagement, political engagement of this issue is spreading around the world very quickly. PRG set up the Exopolitics World Network in, I think, July 2008, and it's up to 18 websites, 17 countries, and there's two or three more countries coming online within the next month or two. And these countries and these websites are quite active, quite good, and one of the countries, so Spain, the website administrator and creator, Pep Hoover, of course, was one of the co-sponsors, co-producers of the European Exopolitics Summit in Sitges last weekend. His partner is Miguel Solares Rex, who is an entrepreneur in Spain, and Sitges is right south of Barcelona on the Mediterranean. That conference, by the way, all of the lectures are online, high definition. If you go to paradigmresearchgroup.org and go to the main site, you'll see a link to the conference lectures, and you can actually look at them all. There were 1,400 attendees, and a lot of press showed up for the press conference. Very significant event. So exopolitics is spreading across Europe, and these people are going to be putting pressure on their government. So that is happening. It won't be me. It'll be them. It's their country, and it'll do it. And by the way, the average age of this audience in Spain was about 35, which is about 15 to 20 years younger than the average audience here. The Generation X, is embracing the issue very quickly in Spain. It is going to be their world, by the way, not ours. I'm a baby boomer. And so, yeah, other countries are going to get more pressure, but then other countries are already getting on, I mean, they're already jumping on the disclosure train. In fact, while we were in the conference, a new story broke, literally that weekend. And it's legit. I've checked it out. The Russian Navy announced on last Friday that they're releasing hundreds of classified files regarding underwater UFO encounters of the Russian Navy. Pretty significant.
Kevin Smith, we've known about that for about a week and a half, 2 weeks already. And I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a global movement.
Yeah, I
it
think
will,
so.
It will certainly add to the pressure and help ensure that disclosure will happen quickly. And so you're absolutely right, and I'm doing what I can to grow that global movement. And if anybody out there, go to exopoliticsworld.net or exopoliticsunitedstates.net, and if there's a country there that isn't online yet and you think you'd like to, I mean, you need to be a citizen of that country, you'd like to be the run the website for that country, get in touch with Paradigm Research Group, or if there's a state, and then most of the states are still open, that you'd like to create an exopolitics site for that state, then contact PRG, and you're off and running.
All right. Kevin, thanks so much for the call. All right, let's go back to the question that I had asked. We have on the playbill something that's coming up in the fall. They're preparing for it. They're already saying they may do these forced vaccinations and use NORCOM, military command, to set up five regions in the United States for them to operate under and or from, and assist with the forced vaccinations of the American citizens.
You want my response to that? I'll tell you. I don't believe it, Kevin. I believe that it's internet-generated stuff. Look.
No, I heard it on CNN.
If the American government tried to force vaccinate the American people, there would be blood in the streets, all right? Let me tell you. There will be gunfire. Don't walk out of your house and don't stand near any windows because gunfire will be everywhere. It ain't going to happen. But it's notable that the level of cynicism and distrust of the American people holds for the government right now is high, incredibly high. And that's significant. And so these kind of reports, when they get going, have a lot of traction. People are inclined to believe them because...
Well, Steve, this is not internet-generated. This was reported on mainstream news on television that the military has volunteered, NORCOM has volunteered to assist, and that their plan was to set up five regions.
Understanding, Kevin, that the military may assist in a vaccination program, but that's not a forced vaccination program. You know, they're making vaccines available to 300 million people that may want them is mm-hmm. a massive task. And so it's not surprising at all that the military may be called on to assist in that. But because of the cynicism and distrust that exist in this country, people have leaped to the conclusion that they're going to force us to take that vaccine. Now, I'm actually sympathetic here. Look, there is a reason why the American people distrust their government so much. It's been lying to them so long and so often about matters of such great importance, they just don't believe it anymore. And so consequently, it's like the boy who called wolf. I mean, after a while, you can tell the truth. Nobody's going to believe you anyway. And so this reflects how distrustful the American people are, and that needs to stop. We have got to get the government back in the truth business. But all I can say is, Kevin, if, in fact, they try to institute a forced vaccination by any means, I can assure you, you're going to see the American people do some stuff you never thought possible, and it's going to be very, very unpleasant.
All right, Steve, we have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. We'll take some more of your calls on the other side of this break, so warm your fingers up and get ready. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Steve Bassett. And Steve, are you still with us?
I certainly am.
Oh, we lucked out again. Okay, the telephone line is open, and the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, hang on for just one moment here. Let me read a flash message that's come in. This one from the United Kingdom from John. It says, what if it turns out that these UFOs are from right here on Earth, like in the book World Within Worlds? Maybe on another level to us. I don't understand that part of it. And then it says, I guess if this could be the case, everyone will have egg on their faces.
Well, it's possible. There's the inner Earth theory, and then there's the multi-universe theory, multi-dimensions and so forth. These are possible. All I can say is, you know, if you got your life savings and you've got to bet it, put it on the table, bet on these ETs coming from other planets in the galaxy, and the odds are much higher you're going to win. You bet on an inner Earth or multiverse theory, you're probably going to lose.
But you know, either way, no matter where they're coming from, it's still, as far as you and I are concerned, unidentified flying objects, and we want to know what's up.
Well, politically, it's all the same.
Yeah.
I mean, wherever they're from, their presence has to be acknowledged so that we can all get on board here and we can deal with it as a civilization, whatever it is. And so politically, it's not the same. In terms of the ultimate understanding, yeah, it's very important, and I hope we clarify it.
But it's not going to put egg on my face. But those, but nevertheless, those who completely dispense with such are the more the less likely theories should be careful. The world is very complicated and very strange, and so there are many surprises ahead, and one needs to be, you know, circumspect about what one eliminates from the mix. But right now, I think Occam's razor is pretty sharp on the fact that they come from other planets like ours.
All right. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Aaron from San Antonio.
All right. Tell me your first name again.
Aaron.
Inge, okay.
I just had a quick question, and I'll hang up and listen. Does Stephen Bassett aware of the Gary McKinnon case, and does he think it's going to be a positive or a detriment to disclosure?
Oh, good question.
I'm very aware of the case. I'm really a little surprised it's gone this far. I can't imagine the United States going through this extradition. But lo and behold, it's to the near the end. I still don't think he'll be extradited, but it could happen.
Why do you think he will not be extradited?
I still guess that he will be, but I'm a little surprised that it's gone this far, particularly since Obama took over. I can say this. I have offered to... You know, if there is a trial in the U.S., I have offered to testify in that trial if the defense, McGinnis' defense, wanted me to. Others have made a similar offer. But prior to this, though, I've stayed out of it because I didn't feel it was appropriate to push the UFO issue while this guy is fighting for his freedom. His life comes first, in my opinion. All right, so... I believe if the United States extradite him, it will be a massive mistake that will blow up in their face. It will generate as much press over here, maybe even more than it has in the UK, and bring a lot of attention to the UFO issue, whether Gary wants it or his defense team wants it or not. And right now, they're already up to their eyebrows in UFO stuff coming at them. I don't think they need this.
On the other hand, this could be the thing, though, couldn't it?
I'm sorry?
I said, on the other hand, this could be the thing that forces the White House press corps into asking the questions. I mean, it could be the catalyst where they say, okay, now wait a minute. We've been getting all of this email, all of these faxes,
yeah.
You know, and now here's a case where he says he found information. Mr. Gibbs, let's talk about this.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. In some respects, the whole situation now is like a super saturated solution.
Yeah.
That any jarring of the solution, the whole thing will, what they call drop out of solution.
Yeah.
And solidify, and it could be that dropping McKinnon into this would, in fact, trigger the whole thing, blow it up, in which case, you know, bingo, the government's forced to disclose, but I can't say that. I think my biggest concern is that whatever happens, the UFO, you know, the UFO issue is not going to live or die on Gary McKinnon, and I would hope that the UFO field in general won't do something that will increase the likelihood of this guy going to jail for 50 years or 20 years or whatever. I mean, we don't want to hurt this guy. In other words, I don't think it's appropriate to try to use him deliberately unless he reaches out and says, I need all the publicity I can get regarding UFO questions because I just arrived in New York and I'm going into, custody. You know, if they do that, well, I don't think there'll be any problem generating tons of publicity, but I hope it'll be on the request of McKinnon and his defense team. I don't want to use Gary McKinnon to drive the UFO issue, but
yeah, I got you.
If it works out that way, it works out that way. So we'll see what happens.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Steve. This is Mark from Ohio. I'm doing your Exit Politics Ohio website, and I wanted to say hello.
Hi, how you doing, Mark?
Pretty good. I have one quick question. I'll take the answer off the air. Master Sergeant Robert Dean has referred to the UFO issue as kind of a Pandora's box. that might contain a massive amount of shocking information. Perhaps the true origins of the human race on Earth, human culture existing on other planets, and even the existence of a secret space program here in the U.S. And if disclosure took place today, how do you imagine that the government would handle the release of that kind of information? And I'll take the answer off here. Thanks.
Okay, Mark, thanks for the call.
Well, first and foremost, we could use a Pandora's box right now because the overall TV is getting incredibly boring. Gotten pretty boring, and we could use some great new content, and that sounds like great material. We'd all watch that for the next few years. Secondly, the government, you can be sure, will make the disclosure event, announce the ET presence, and then they will bring out information in a manner of their choosing and in a manner designed to maximize the government's favorable ratings and minimize the negative ratings. And so stuff will come out, but they will orchestrate it to minimize the impact. Now, the public may put a lot of pressure on the government and try to force the pace or change the direction. But once the government is in a positive information mode, I mean, people are going to be relatively generous. In other words, as long as they're telling them something, they're going to be happy. And so if it is a Pandora's box, it's not going to just explode out into the scene. It will come out. It'll be kind of time released. And I wouldn't be surprised if the more negative and more difficult to digest stuff is held off till later, when it'll be less shocking because we've already learned a great deal to begin with. So I'm not too concerned about that. But whatever it is, I don't see any more benefit or any basis to justify these kinds of, quote, scary things being in the hands of a limited number of narrowly educated people operating within a secrecy structure. There's 6 billion people on this planet. We're just as important as they are, and we have substantial intellectual resources amongst us, and those resources should be brought to bear to address whatever these scary matters are. I do not trust the government, and haven't for some time, to deal and address matters like this and get it right. Sadly enough. So it is in our interest that whatever the issues are, they are out in the open for all to deal with. And whatever it is, it is.
Steve, have you had any meetings or conversations with anyone in the current administration about this disclosure issue?
No. No, I don't have that kind of access. I'm not sure of anybody that really does, though there's some people that are claiming that they have, you know, fairly tight access. I know that there are people within the Coalition of Freedom of Information that I think have some relatively close access to John Podesta, but I'm not privy to what is going on there. I'm an outside activist. For them to engage me at all would be risky.
All right, now
they're not going to do it.
Okay. It would seem to me that there would have to be some ramping up toward disclosure inside the administration. They would have to get the president fully briefed, maybe some of his, and the vice president, and maybe some of the advisors around them, national security advisor and secretary of state, and folks like that, high-level advisors and cabinet members. They would have to get them up to speed, get them briefed, and get them ready, because once the disclosure statement is made by the president, and I would assume it would be the president, but once the disclosure statement is made, after that, virtually everyone from the administration who appears anywhere for any reason is going to be asked questions about this ET stuff. So they have to get them up to speed. Now, I would think that there would be a time process, where they ramp up towards this and get these people briefed and ready.
Actually, no, Kevin.
You don't think so?
That way.
Why not?
Here's their dilemma. You know, they have to do some preparation, but it can't be too expansive. It's got to be very limited, because if it isn't, it's going to leak, and a leak on this is not a good thing. So what they will do is they will make the decision to proceed, and then they will bring
a certain number of people into the loop on that decision and then move very quickly to get it done before it can leak out. They will hold a press conference, all right? They will bring in a number of top leaders, including from the civilian sector, will make some comments about how they view this. They'll take some questions from the press. And then the disclosure event is over. And what they will likely do is basically say, look, we have made, you know, a very important step in human history. Now the United States government is going to start bringing into the loop a broad range of government officials. And so for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 30 days, the only a particular office or a particular set of individuals will be taking questions, and we will brief the the press again. But no one else in the administration will be taking questions on this until after a certain amount of time. In other words, they will brief the larger arena after disclosure, not before, because to try to do it before guarantees confusion and a leak and a mess. And for all intents and purposes, it's all the same thing. So basically, if you're not in the loop and they disclose on Monday, you're not going to have to worry about answering any questions on Wednesday.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, and we'll take some more calls, maybe one or two, on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Steve, did we make it through the break again? You still with us?
And again, yes, we made it through.
All right. Well, I don't know. The telephones have been coming and going all through the show, and it's not our system. We're getting outside assistance, but we've been able to get through so far. The telephone number, folks, is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Those numbers will work from anywhere in the world. But as always, if you happen to live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada and you just don't want to make that international long-distance call, you can send me a flash message. You go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the link. It says flash message. But you got to do it real soon, real quick, because we're fast running out of time for tonight's show. Steve, you were describing how you thought this thing would take place procedurally, in ramping up to, it'd be a very short ramp up to disclosure. All right, so that being the case, how long would it take to get the president briefed and ready, and whatever other attendant players at the game have to be briefed and ready? How long would it take to do that?
I think from the moment that the internal committees decide it's time to go, no, probably no less than a week, no more than 2 weeks, tops. The president doesn't be given the ultimate briefing. He doesn't have to be taken to all the labs. He doesn't have to be shown bodies, craft, or anything else. Basically come in, give him a briefing document, say ETs are here, they're real. We're going to need to reveal this to the American people. Here's a summary. That's it. I mean, that could take 3 hours or less. They need to draw a certain number of people into the picture. I think that initial press conference should have a bunch of high-level individuals prepared to speak to it. And so they need to contact, under strict secrecy, a limited number of individuals, 12, 15, something like that, give them a relatively, you know, summary of the situation, enough to allow them to address the people at the press conference for a few minutes and give them their thoughts, all of which will be along the lines of, don't be alarmed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll take questions for a while at this press conference, and then we're off and running. Then, the post disclosure. I think then there will be an aggressive ramping up, but after the fact, in which a lot of other people within government we need to be brought into the loop and told what is appropriate to their position.
Okay,
so
now
they can address the issue in a proper way.
Who makes the decision down there in the bowels of the secret keepers? Whose decision is it to say, okay, it's time to go to the president and tell him that this needs to happen?
I think this issue is run by committees, maybe more than one, maybe compartmentalized, dealing with different aspects of it. But in any event, whether there's one or whether there's multiple, if there's more than one committee, they will reach out to each other. And it will be kind of a collective decision. I don't think there's a ruler down there. I don't think there's a king. And the committees will collectively decide it's time to move ahead, and the consensus will be to proceed, and then somebody will be designated to approach the president.
Do you think that's happening now?
Oh, it could already have happened. Very possible. But that's the way I think it will happen, my guess. And the president, he will have two options. I mean, the president can either say, well, okay, let's do this, or I'd rather not. My guess is if the president says, I'd rather not, their response is going to be, well, Mr. President, you need to reconsider that. Take 24 hours. I mean, I just don't think they're going to let the president block it. And I don't think the president really could block it. But there's a lot of ways to bring this out. I mean, it could easily come out in different venues and put the president in a corner. And they don't want to do that. I mean, they don't want to embarrass the president, I don't think. But you have to understand, Obama has run a campaign based upon open, transparent government. He's the number one backer of the Democratic Party. The number one backer of the Democratic Party is George Soros. Number one issue is open, transparent government. And if the management committee come to Obama and offer him the greatest moment of truth-telling in all of history, I don't see him saying no. I mean, it's not going to happen.
On the other hand, when asked a question about transparency on this issue, Robert Gibbs ran for cover.
And Robert Gibbs is not the president.
Yeah, but he is speaking for the president out there.
Open this issue.
Yeah, he is the president's public mouthpiece, though.
Right, but he's only allowed to respond to questions that he's authorized to respond to.
Well, that's a point.
If he's not authorized to respond on this issue, he ain't going to respond. I think what is notable, though, is that he didn't ridicule the question.
That is true.
He didn't denigrate it, and that's there was a time when he then the press secretary would have.
Yeah.
So that's probably very notable and a very positive sign. And you can bet. Well, I'll tell you. Here's the deal. Until disclosure takes place, right up until the day it happens, nobody in that administration is going to say anything. You know, I mean, Podesta was called a couple of times because of actions of PRG, the press conference of the National Press Club, and other things. And, you know, he said nothing other than, I stand by my statements of 2002-2003. He added nothing new. There's no way, if any member of the administration even hints that there's something going on here, it will trigger a media storm. So I understand why they're trying to keep dead silent. They will try to do that right up until the day they do it. But if the press corps, particularly the White House press corps, chomps into this and starts asking questions, they can't keep silent. There's just no way. Unless they cancel all the press briefings and just say, or they put out an edict saying you're not allowed to ask UFO questions. That would be the end of the truth embargo, too. Look, it's mate in three. You play chess, Kevin?
Yes, I do.
Okay, you know what mate in three means.
Yes.
The audience knows what mate in three. It means that no matter what you do, you're going to be checkmated. So you can either surrender then, or you can play out the moves and be checkmated. It's your call. But the game is over. The game is over unless somebody blows up the board, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody blows up the board, I guess you don't finish the game, do you? We're trying to finish this game before somebody blows something up. I mean, it's really that simple.
And you think we're really going to be able to do this?
I think that if the American people are willing to send enough letters to the White House press corps, faxes and emails, all three would be nice. Yeah, I don't see how the press corps could withstand that many. I don't know what the number is. Is it 5,000, 8,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 at some point? It's simply going to be impossible. And Billy Cox is not the only one sniffing around. I mean, there's going to be some other reporters.
Remember, these are the reporters that aren't in the press corps working for those basic city papers that would love to have a great news story. They're going to start sniffing around. They're going to start asking questions. And so, well, and we have precedent for this. You have seen the White House, you have seen the press in this country bite into a story many times in your lifetime, right?
Oh, yeah. The most memorable for me was Watergate.
Sure. Watergate, Irangate, Monica Lewinsky. Recently, you had a number of sex scandals. Boom. There's no escaping them. All right? So we know what they're capable of doing. They're just not acting on the good stuff. In other words, they're going crazy about things which don't really mean a hell of a lot in the long term. And they're not jumping into the stories that really are important to the United States and its future. Well, that's their mistake. And so we're trying to help them get their act together.
All right. We're almost out of time. Steve, tell us again the websites people need to go to in order to get active with this.
Main portal is paradigmresearchgroup.org. You can jump from that portal to thefactsinwashington.org. And the main PRG site, where you can find links to the all the lectures in Sitges, Spain. It's a massive site. I just recently tweaked it, so it's tightened up a little bit, a little tighter.
Okay, give us the other one real quick. The music started.
All righty.
Okay, so go to paradigmresearchgroup.org. And you'll find the information and links you need right there, folks. Steve, stay on the line with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. My guest tomorrow night, Donald Schmidt with Witness to Roswell. We'll be here then. You be here, too, okay? Until then, so long, everybody.